Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as He is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. God states in His Word that He would rise up ministries in the last days to do mighty exploits that would turn many to righteousness. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And with us today is the show's producer, Tony Palacio. How are you doing today?
I am blessed.
You know, praise God, we are only a few days away from having Joe back with us. He's actually on his way back down from Idaho, Oregon. He got to speak at one of our little congregations that meet up for their live feed, their live feed service in Idaho. We also have another one in Texas with the Jackson family in Belverde, Texas. And then we have another one in New York. And I actually found out how to pronounce their name, Tony, and I'm excited about it. It's a German last name, which is von Eif, I believe.
Von Eif.
It was typed out, so I'm really hoping that they didn't lead me astray on the typing, but that's what I'm told. And I did tell them about Joe's meaning of his last name, because he is also German, and Schimmel.
That's right.
Schimmel, Joe will tell you that it means white horse, but it really means white fungus is the truth. Actually, funny enough, I sometimes will search and see, you know, what kind of articles are on Joe and things online. And I was clicking on it. I was like, why does he say Schimmel in the middle of that sentence? And it was Dutch all around it. And the guy was talking about some fungus he had. And I was like, Schimmel really is, does mean white fungus. But I guess it's because of the white. I guess they consider it like a white horse or some sort. I don't know the etymology. But nonetheless.
They got Trojan horse. It's fungus.
Yeah. But we'll be really excited to have him back. I'm sure you guys will be excited to have him back. I know it's a lot less work for my vocal cords when I got Joe here. So such a blessing, and he's got such a wealth of knowledge. So I'm really excited because we usually try to do at least one a week, a question and answer from online, from what people are asking us, questions that we have. So guys, do not hesitate. Please send those questions. If you got questions for us, maybe it's doctrinally, maybe you're having, you know, issues, you're lacking faith in some area. We love to help out in any way we can. If it's something serious, you can private message us. I would never use your name online. If you ask me not to, something like that, or even if you send it privately, I typically won't use your name. I'll read your name off if you say it publicly and you don't mind. But guys, if you have questions, we love to answer them, and we literally could probably do shows for the next 5 years off just the questions we have, but it's always good to have fresh ones and know you guys are listening. We're really blessed by your guys' encouragement all the time. The shows have been so awesome, and we've been excited to do them. But I thought today, instead of simply doing a episode on, hey, these are questions we had, is to show some comments that we disagree with and how we may react to those comments. One thing that you'll notice, especially on our Facebook page, we don't really see this as much so far on Twitter and Instagram too often, but on our Facebook page, one of the things Joe has asked is that it is a place for believers to come and harbor and to set sail from. We want people to come to our page and be encouraged. We have had a lot of Satanists and, you know, a lot of different people come on there and say some pretty profane things. And we're not going to allow our pages to be a place for someone to come blaspheme God. That's not something that we allow. So a lot of times we do not mind having legitimate discussions. When people start getting nasty, you start asking, say, hey, block me, or I'm going to get off this page. I'm like, well, we'll gladly assist you in doing that. That's no problem. And so one of the things, we want to make sure it's a place of encouragement and a place of warning, okay? If you want encouragement all the time, there's other pages for that, all right? But we try to give you news and enough encouragement that you guys stick around. And we want to bless you guys in that way, and we try to keep up with what's going on so you guys are always in the know, so to speak. So recently, when we posted an article regarding Disney Channel's Andy Mack show, and them adding gay characters to a show that is absolutely huge. On the cable news network, I believe it's the highest rated show for the ages of 6 to 14. Okay? And they just added a homosexual character. Not just, now they've had homosexual characters. They actually had a homosexual scene where two boys look at each other and hold hands. And I cover this in more depth on 511 News, which aired last Friday. So you guys can check that out on 511news.org, or you can also find it on our Facebook page. But guys, this was sick, right? I mean, you're talking about 4 to 16 year olds being propagated nonsense. So I didn't think it was that controversial with believers, right? We obviously don't want our kids being propagated sexual immorality of young children. This is disgusting. So when someone came on our page and wrote, quote, "Jesus isn't a fundamentalist," while that normally wouldn't arise any big, you know, conversation, the fact that it was underneath homosexuality being pushed on children, that's where my ear markers went. What do you mean? What are you trying to say? So I'm going to read a little bit of the back and forth, and then I'm going to do a little bit of exegesis, and maybe Tony and I will talk a little bit more about this. But one of the things that I wanted this person to know is, while I understand where your question's coming from to a point, I kind of see where you're, what you're trying to get at, and he kind of proves that later. And so I asked him, I said, "What do you mean by fundamentalist? If you're implying that Jesus would approve of the above," speaking of the show, "I encourage you to see the story of Sodom and Gomorrah and recognize that Jesus was involved in dealing out retribution." Now, if you remember, we just did a show on how to witness to Jehovah's Witness last Monday. And one of the things we brought up is that it says that Yahweh rained down fire from Yahweh, who was on the earth, you know. So it's amazing. And we know that Jesus is the one being spoken of there. And it tells us very clearly that he was there and involved. And then, so I read that, Genesis 19:24. "Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven." To which Jesus' own brother, in the New Testament, by the way, gives commentary. In Jude, I would say chapter 1, but there's only one chapter. But if you're searching it on Bible Hub, you got to type in the one if you want to get to Jude. Otherwise, you'll just get a list of people named Jude. So Jude 1:7 says, "Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they, in the same way as these, indulged in gross immorality and went after strange flesh, are exhibited as an example in undergoing the punishment of eternal fire." Now, very clearly, we have commentary on the event saying that their sexual depravity is why they were an example of eternal fire. Ultimately, the temporal will turn into the eternal, and that's exactly what's going on there. So this is the brother of Jesus in the New Testament giving us commentary on an Old Testament event. So you can't get around it, okay? That's something that Matthew Vines and some of the movement that to push homosexuality in the churches, which that is just mind-boggling. It's one thing for pagans to be pagans and the world to say, well, you know, I have no problem with homosexuality. It's another thing for the church to allow this Trojan horse to sneak in. So we need to be very mindful of that. To which this person replied to us, quote, "I have read the Old Testament. Thank you. These attitudes will soon be just like the attitudes of U.S. Southerners who insisted slavery was God-ordained and used the Bible to back up their belief." So, once again, not only ignorant of scripture, we're going to show he's ignorant of history. And I said, "I just listened to an entire podcast about how the Bible actually teaches astrology, something that is clearly condemned multiple times in scripture. I've seen plenty of liars use the Bible as a means for financial gain, something directly warned about. This doesn't show that those people are correct in what it teaches, but that they personally are corrupt. But what we can know without a hint of historical doubt is that the abolitionists who helped to thwart such wickedness were in fact Christians. I encourage you to look at men such as William Wilberforce, Charles Spurgeon, John Wesley, Charles Finney, Theodore Weld, Harriet Beecher Stowe, and Theodore S. Wright. Someone using scripture out of context is precisely what Satan did when he attempted to tempt Jesus." And guys, I think it's good to know the history between this stuff, because these are arguments you hear on the streets, right? Because wicked men used it to try to propagate wickedness So that means, oh, I guess we can just throw it out. That's simply not true. But what is so heartbreaking is that this guy is attempting to use this and claim to be a Christian. And claim to be a Christian and use these arguments against the Bible. Once again, you are taking a sledgehammer to your foundation, okay? Because you'll get into, we're going to see, he wants the ooey-gooey social gospel. And when he has the ooey-gooey social gospel, he can do what Marcion did and can take out pieces and parts that he doesn't really want to listen to. He can unhitch from the Old Testament. And that's why I kind of had this feeling this was going to happen. And that's why I brought up Genesis 19. That's why I brought up Jude to him. Because guess what? We want to make sure we rightly divide the word of truth. And when people want to separate the Jesus of the Old Testament, when he is the God of the Old Testament, when he 100% was there in those judgments and fully approved of them, okay? When we want to separate him from them, then what you're doing is creating your own Jesus, okay? You are creating your own Jesus. This is not the Jesus of Scripture. And this is sneaky liberal jargon that has snuck in and crept into conservative circles. That is what's going on.
I don't know if this person realizes the irony of what he said when he said Southerners insisted that slavery was God ordained and used the Bible to back up their belief. Isn't that exactly what a lot of you mentioned Matthew Vines and others like him trying to bring Christianity into the fold of the church? Aren't they insisting that homosexuality is God ordained and using the Bible to back up their belief? The irony in his statement is very interesting.
It's really funny you use the word irony, because it's only going to get more ironic, sadly, because one of the things he says, right, I am rejecting incorrect interpretations of both, talking about the verses I mentioned. That's what he's trying to correct. But what does he do? Of course, he doesn't offer any interpretation outside of that. These are plainly, clearly written texts. These are not hyperbole,
right?
You know, these are not parables. This is so clear from the text. And then, so we responded. He said, how is Jude's commentary on that event incorrect? Also, how is it incorrect to state, to show that Jesus was not absent and did not protest, putting to death those who went after what was unnatural, Romans 1, and indulged in sexual immorality? And you see, these blanket statements, this nonsense, and of course, he doesn't have an interpretation, a clear interpretation, that would differ from what we are reading. So what does he do? All he does is quote, he doesn't even quote, he just says 1 Corinthians 14:34. It's like that. And so I, knowing that text, was a little befuddled as to how that would relate to his argument. So I asked him, I said, really confused how this related to anything in the discussion. So let's dissect. What does he say? He says, my point is we've been taught to cherry pick the Bible. We believe our beliefs come directly from the Bible and that the Bible is always clear cut and black and white. This is not the case. Clearly, most Christian churches don't follow 1 Corinthians 14:34 literally. Why? Because it wasn't intended to apply to all churches forevermore. Scripture can be interpreted many ways. Thus, when Christians thump the Bible and say gay people are sinners, they are cherry-picking because that's what they have been taught to believe. I was taught the same. Then I realize it's the same as me being left-handed. I didn't choose to be left-handed. Nobody told me to be left-handed. I can't decide to not be left-handed. And not long ago, people would have been considered me evil for being left-handed. People would have tried to force me to not be left-handed. Now, I have to comment on a lot of this nonsense. Could you find me more ironic hypocrisy than claiming we are cherry-picking the Bible when we are giving text and he is using 1 Corinthians 14:34, women being silent in the church, as if we are not allowed to show that text, as we are not allowed to look at the context, as we recognize that it is talking about the assembly and how the assembly is supposed to be put in order, we can look at 1 Corinthians 14 and understand that context. We can look at historical context as well. Guys, I want to read a little bit, just a quote from an understanding of biblical hermeneutics, because I think people, sometimes they're just, they don't understand what that means, what it means to have interpretation. But I'm going to go through these and see if you think that this guy is following the biblical hermeneutics, okay? Step one of biblical hermeneutics, scripture interprets scripture. Often scripture interprets itself. In some instances, another biblical writer interprets another biblical passage. That is the first line of a biblical hermeneutic. You see, that's exactly what I did. I tried to show him Jude gives commentary on a text. When somebody gives commentary, by the way, Jesus did the same. Jesus spoke of the desolation of Sodom and Gomorrah. When someone gives us commentary, it interprets the scripture for us. These are not obscure texts. These are not texts that, okay, women should be silent in church. You know, maybe we have to understand a historical context, women asking each other because the men were separated, or whatever you want to do biblically, okay? But that's the first line. Then what? Context interprets scripture. The surrounding verses, chapter, and the book of the Bible provide immediate context to any Bible verse, as does the historical, cultural, linguistic context of a verse. Verse 3, intent interprets scripture. All scripture has an intended meaning. It is therefore true that a scripture has one correct interpretation, while it may have many correct applications. And verse 4, the clear interprets the obscure. No verse of scripture should be interpreted to contradict the overall message of scripture. When we are faced with an obscure verse, we find a clear verse to help interpret it. Okay? This is very, very clear. When we have an abundance of scripture concerning homosexuality, okay? Just an abundance, guys. It's so clear. And if you guys, please, have these down, because this has become such a big issue in the church, and it should not be in the church. We should be able to recognize the holy from the profane. And if we can't, it's our problem. It's our fault. And it's because we haven't been looking at God's word. Have you read Romans 1? Try to interpret that another way. Giving over to these degrading desires, doing what is unnatural, women with women, men with men. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, because you get the victory as well, right? Do not be deceived. Whenever scripture says do not be deceived, you should say, highlight, there's something here that the church is going to be deceived about one day, because it's always true. It's always true. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. And what do we see over and over again? Young kids hanging out with non-believers. Do not be deceived. He who sows to the flesh will reap corruption. And what do we see? I see parents telling young kids, well, they're young. They're going to get it out of them. I did it too when I was young. Not recognized. Wait a second. They're sowing to destruction. And what does this guy use? Forget going back to the scripture, because he doesn't have one. He goes to a text that he seems as obscure. I don't see it as obscure. And says, oh, because this one text is obscure, we can't understand anything in scripture. That is not a genuine way to look at scripture. It is positively disingenuous. It's wrong. It's dishonest. I find it absolutely disingenuous, dishonest. I don't believe that you do that with anything else in life. And then what does he use? Well, the Bible says this, but my experience tells me this. Because he doesn't use chapter verse. He doesn't say, well, the Bible also says this. No, what he wants to use is his own interpretation. It's just like I'm left-handed. It's just like I'm left-handed. It's just like I'm left-handed. That's the same as committing sexual sin, that the Bible says, well, what? Those who practice it will not inherit the kingdom of God. The only thing the Bible speaks about when it, I mean, Joe did a whole message on left and the right, but when it comes to your salvation, all right, first of all, you want to make sure you're on the right, right? That separates the sheep from the goats. You want to make sure you're on the right. But when it comes to this issue, cutting off your hand and plucking out your eye, that's the hand text that I want to talk about in Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 through 30. When it comes to lustful desires, people that aren't your husband or wife. That's the Jesus I want to talk about, the one that comes from Scripture. Now, this is all this is, once again, when you look at sin over and over again, you look at any issue, 9 times out of 10, what's going to be the question? What's going to be the answer to their problem? It's always idolatry. It's some other thing they want to serve other than the one true God. It's the breaking of the first two commandments. That's the truth. And that's exactly what he's doing here. He's like, I want to have Jesus how I want to have Jesus. That's what I want. I want to have Jesus on my terms so that I can take scriptures and take those and say, well, we can run with these ones because these ones I really like. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Oh, that speaks to me today. But what about everything else? You know that the Muslims do this? But instead of using their own lenses, they use a book that came over 600 years after Jesus. And anytime that the word of God contradicts this lens that they have, they say, oh, well, that wasn't really scripture. That's been corrupted, even though there isn't a single text in the Quran that says that the Bible's been corrupted. In fact, it says it's incorruptible when Allah gives it, and Allah gave all these texts. Sorry, I don't want to get into a whole thing on Islam, but there's a lot of parallels here, guys, because this the same devil is the same devil. The same devil is the same devil, and he uses the same techniques over and over and over again. So when he uses that technique with Islam, where he says, here, put on these lenses of the Quran, and anytime the contradiction comes from the Bible, you go here and use this lens, and Jesus said these things, but he didn't say these. Anytime it says Jesus talked to the Father, everything was fine. Anytime he called him his Father, it's not. Anytime Jesus talked to God, who they would call Allah, it's fine, but anytime that he said, I am, okay, and he said, he and the Father are one, anytime he said, in hakan analagas en prostante analagas, anytime he said that in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, all those places, we interpret them through the lenses of something that came 600 years after, okay? That's all he's doing, and it's the same devil that's tricked him. And you know how this seeps in? It seeps in by simply playing to the emotions. By using these maxims, by using these liberals that come in with this theology that sneak in and they creep in unnoticed. That's exactly what happens. A lot of people think, and I believe that here at Blessed Hope and Good Fight Ministries, are the DVD that we came out with, this Emerging Church, did a number to the Emerging Church. We've had a ton of people write us and tell us, I was in these churches, my family was in these churches, we're all out of it now. And praise God. And guys like Brian McLaren and Tony Campolo and even Rob Bell, they're kind of on the sidelines now, to a point. But the fact is that their jargon, their maxims, they snuck in. They crept in unnoticed. And too many people are just like this guy. They're going to have their cake and eat it too. I'm going to have Jesus on my terms. And so I wrote back to him. I said, misinterpretation of one text, as you did above, does not mean all texts are not understood properly in their correct context. It is one thing to explain the order of the church in the time in which something was written and how it applies today. It is another to take multiple verses condemning practice and you act like we can't understand it. That is at best disingenuous. What you have actually done is make a God in your own image, not the God of Scripture. Jesus, as much as you don't like it, clearly taught about Sodom being decimated as a historical event, one that he was involved in. Jesus' own brother explains that it was because of their sexual sin. If you want a way around that, it's because you have a God that you have formed, not the one that Jesus spoke about in the scriptures. You claim it is cherry picking when you are picking out parts of the Bible as cultural whenever you disagree with it. This ironic hypocrisy would be funny if it wasn't so sad. And that's the truth, guys. Well, ultimately, sometimes it's almost comical because it's like you're not even seeing it. It's the people screaming out, I can't believe you're so judgmental, while they're judging. I can't believe you're cherry picking. While I literally only accept a few sayings from Jesus, like Tony, I can't find another bigger hypocrisy. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm losing my mind. But I mean, I cannot find a higher hypocrisy.
I keep looking at his comment where he said, "I can't decide not to be left-handed." If you were to apply that logic to any other sin, would it make sense? And you can choose not to sin. But if you're going to put the topic of homosexuality in a category that's not a choice, and you're just, you know, as Lady Gaga says, you're born that way, they try to categorize it that way and build up the straw man so then they can take it down and misapply scriptures, as you're saying.
No, amen. And that's exactly what we see there. And like you said, you categorize your sin, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm sure... He doesn't like liars, right? I'm not saying he doesn't like him. I'm sure he doesn't like when people lie to him, right? Right? I'm sure he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Probably ask him how he would feel if someone took his wallet. And what if somebody came to him and said, well, they're just left-handed.
Yeah. You know? I'm left-handed, so I got your wallet.
It's like, it's nonsense. And it's why. It's because you've bought the lie hook, line, and sinker. You've bitten into it, you're chewing on it, and you're hooked. And my prayer for this guy is he be pulled out of it. They think they're doing this as they're nicer and they have this more spiritual understanding.
Well, he mentions the hate, you know, all these comments on this thread about, I hate Disney and I hate, well, yeah, we're called to hate sin, you know, abhor it, you know, abhor what's evil, stand for what's right according to scripture. And does that mean we hate people? No, we love all people equally unto the Lord, as far as getting them to accept the gospel and hearing the truth, because we love them. We don't want them to perish.
I think
that's
what
sin does it. That's what sin does to people. Yeah. And that includes what scripture teaches in Romans and Corinthians about homosexuality, even all the way back in Leviticus. It's pretty consistent. Yeah, it's not a new thing.
No. Amen. And that's what's heartbreaking, because this, and I'll hearken back to what you said, that compartmentalizing, and we'll make it all different. The only difference that I see, there's a sin that leads to death that 1 John 5 talks about,
mm-hmm.
but the difference that I see in sin when it talks about it is sexual sin. Because why? It's a sin against your own body.
Right.
Right? So people say, well, all sin's the same. No, not really, okay? And I'm sure you don't feel that way. And this idea, like you see, it's really ridiculous, and it's just, you've bought the lie, man. You've bought the lie, you've taken it, and you said, oh, well, now, because I don't understand 1 Corinthians 14, and by the way, we do adhere to 1 Timothy 2, and 1 Timothy 2, we adhere to 1 Corinthians 14, okay? We don't have women screaming over to their husbands back and forth in church, okay, yelling at each
the
other.
Chaos.
What did he say? Honey, what did he mean by that? And no, we don't have that chaos, okay? Because that's exactly what he's talking about. He talks about tongues and prophecy, and we don't have that chaos going around. So yeah, we do adhere to it. I think that's absolutely ridiculous to assume otherwise. But one of the things for me is just to see this, because what you're doing is you're selling other people lies. You're selling them a different Jesus. You're a snake oil salesman. You're selling them a mirage when we have an oasis. You're selling them an absolute broken cistern when we have the stream of living water. Let's not commit those two sins. Let's make sure we stay next to that stream and we are the tree planted against the water that bears fruit in this season. This has been Chad Davidson and Tony Abelacio of Good Fight Ministries, and this is the Good Fight Radio Show.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. To learn more about the ministry, please visit us at goodfight.org, where we feature articles, videos, and life-changing resources on DVD and CD. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us in continuing to deliver powerful biblical content, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We thank you so much for joining us today, and we hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.